I asked us earlier on to write down our questions about life, about business, about career. Write down the questions. We'll handle them by God's grace. We want to call on one of our brothers to give us a talk. Our time is fast spent, so we'll be leaving here very soon. We want to call our brother Olayinka Oyekomi, the chief sage, to talk to us. You're welcome.
Praise God. Praise God. This is a business meeting, and we are Christians, so I think I just want to share a few things I think that will help us and we'll learn. And I want to take it from what Bishop said, and like Pastor said, I was listening to somebody on radio and was saying, this person uses a lot of my illustrations. I'm one of those. I was in Abid. Was it when I was on radio? Pastor was here. Praise God. Yes. But I'm sure we are going to learn a few things. I've been really blessed being in this ministry. It has taught me a lot of balance. And balance is very critical. Especially when we are doing business. Because when you go out there, you can be seriously confused. You know, when you get into this line of business, somebody else is doing exactly that line of business. And the person is galloping ahead. While you are moving at snail speed, panic could just enter you. You just be thinking that you are really not moving. But the truth of the matter is that you have to realize that your identity is different. And you have to stay in the place of your identity. That's one critical thing that you don't want to lose all the time. That is, you are a Christian, and the way you do your own things, they are very, very different. Praise the Lord. Now, I just want to, let me take it from where Bishop was talking about seven sons. And in saying that, I want to talk about a bit, create a balance in the area of work. Praise God. If you have been here for a while, you would have heard enough word to know that it's not your hustle that creates what you are looking for. Amen? Yes, it's not your hustle. However, one thing we must be careful about is not to be lazy as Christians. Praise the Lord. If you look at Pastor very well, one thing you can say categorically is that he's not lazy. For those of us that work a bit close with Pastor, if Pastor gives you assignment, once Pastor is coming, in your head, you're analyzing the whole thing. Pastor says, have I done it? Okay, I don't do this one. Okay, I've done this one. Basically, it keeps you on your toes. And one of the things it does for me also is that it keeps me on my toes in my own area of business also. If Pastor mistakenly asks you about your business, and you are now, you know, you are feeling boastful. Say, okay, Pastor, you know, we are trying to do this and doing this thing. You have set yourself up. Because the next time it's going to ask you questions, it's going to expect you to have gone to the next level. It will not be asking you like, so why didn't you guys do these things? You will now be stuck and be wondering in your head, why didn't you do this? And my mind was telling me to do it too. You know, you have to be careful of laziness under the guise of grace. You cannot sit down in your house, sleeping, and then you expect that things will happen magically. Praise the Lord. There's a place of work in the place of you doing business. Praise the Lord. And you have to carefully settle down, itemize the work, jobs you have to do, and do them. It's not for the pursuit of money. When I was coming this morning, I saw one new hotel. And immediately an idea dropped in my head. This new hotel, if you just package marketing for them now, money don't enter your head. I said, what's the purpose of you packaging that marketing? It's simply because you want to make money, Abby. I said, if you are pursuing money, you get into all sorts of things that you are not supposed to get to. Now, taking a cue from Bishop, who said that we have to be to settle down to know the assignment that God gave us on earth to do and to pursue it. And I believe strongly that God gave each person an assignment. And if you are working, if you are in the place of work, you are not in the place of sleeping and waiting and praying, God, show me, Lord, and you are just in that place. But when you say, God, show me, you go out to work. You will stumble or deliberately walk into the place of your assignment. Praise the Lord. Yes, and I like the story of Joseph. Many times we remember Joseph as a dreamer. But one thing I never forget was that the first problem he had with his brothers was that he went to the farm and came back and gave a report and said, the way they are administering the farm is wrong. Praise the Lord. That is, the guy was an administrator. And then he went to the house of Potiphar. And when he got there, he administered the place so excellently. Potiphar said, guy, take over. Now, if you look at it, there was an escalating size of what he had to do. So he moved from his father's farm to Potiphar's house. From there, he went to prison. Before long, he was administering what was going on in prison. How they would serve food, how they would do this, how they would do that, how they would make sure the place is clean and all of that. From there, he started administering the whole of Egypt. So I told myself, and I thought about it, and I realized that it was difficult for the guy to do storage for 7 years, but he had been practicing how to do storage in the prison. It's not entirely his sense. But you see, it is when you are walking and you are asking questions. Sometimes that is where God drops the revelation you need to solve that problem. And I believe that in the place of business, God gives us revelation. I'm so sure of that. Every time I went to this station to talk, they have a way of bringing hard questions. Questions that will stump me. Then I'll just stay like this. The answer will just drop in my head. I'll just settle down for like a second. And I'll start explaining to them. So in Urban Radio now, they think, in fact, they call me a financial expert. One day I was not there, they called me, they recorded what I was saying and played it on radio. Me, I was talking to the guy normally. I didn't know that I was. But the way he was asking questions, leading, after asking me one, he would now ask the next question. In my mind, I said, this guy wants to put this on radio. I now started speaking better English. He was on the phone, no? Normally I would just say, Chama Afa. He just said, so when you say Buhari has done, now what do you think this will happen? I say, hey, this guy wants to put this thing on radio. I just started saying, well, you know, in financial matters, I changed it. Praise the Lord. But you know, when I was thinking about it, I said, Kai, God knows how to give people cheat mode. I was on cheat mode. What do I mean by that? The things that I need to say, the Bible says when you get there in that same hour, what you want to say will be given to you. I'm on cheat mode almost all the time. But you see, cheat mode doesn't come only when you are there. Sometimes cheat mode was dropped in your head a year ago because you were thinking, you were anticipating that problem. So it's in place of working and anticipating the problems, that is where answers come to you. Praise the Lord. So we have to be engaged people. Like, borrowing this, that phrase, we have to be serving sons. You have to be at work. So I believe that as you work, you end up in the place where God was. And you know, this thing is simple. It says, just be diligent. That one that you are doing now, be diligent with it. I was talking to one of our people in Makurdi the other day. I said, when I started driving, I just liked driving. But in the Southwest, I drove everywhere. I used to have uncles, cousins. They just come, Yinka Hafa, let's go to this place. Pia, we have gone. I was driving all those people. Then my dad was the last person I drove because he used to say, you are driving. If police should catch you, you'll be surprised. I'll tell them I've never seen you before in my life. That's what he used to say. Then one day, he just woke up and said, it's you people I'm working for. I have case in Osun State. Come and drive this car. That's how I started driving him. Praise the Lord. And another, you know, you have to know that God has put things in your life. I found out that if I went to a place, I won't miss the road again. I may not be able to tell you the name of the street, but the map is in my head. So when I'm going there, I'm looking for a certain turning. I say, there's one turning here. That's that turning. So I'm driving. I'm looking for that turning. Once I get there, so I always put landmarks in my head. I didn't plan it. Today, I'm happy that when Pastor and I are going somewhere, I say, Pastor, let's go. We will find it. Why? It wasn't planned. I didn't do it. It was in the place of work. What was the work? Driving. Praise the Lord. So when you get to that place, when there's an assignment in your hands, and you have to understand that there's no time that you're supposed to be idle. There's supposed to be work for you to do. As Christians, there's that danger. It's a valid one for us to be. And I found out something that God does. When you are a new Christian believer, you say, I need a car. You say, Lord, I need a car. You just speak to one brother, say, Brother Bishop, this your car is enough. You have driven your own. Give that guy. So your first car, you get it free of charge. Praise God. Then when you have matured a bit, you've been coming to Bible study, you have started quoting scripture and telling people with authority. Just say, Lord, I need a car. I say, very good. The next thing that is dropping in your head is idea. It's not cow. It's not going to tell anybody to give you car. It's idea. The money from that idea will buy you car and a little extra. Praise God. So the idea of, so now, the car has entered your hands as an idea. So if you take the idea and you hold it there and say, Kai, I have this wonderful idea. Oh, the day I will implement it. Oh my God. The idea will be wonderful. Your car, the day you implement your car. That's your car. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's your car that you are holding. So what I found out is, when, especially when we are looking for financial resources, what God gives us most times is an idea, which you have to now take, especially for those of us that are in business, and then you run with it. And as you run with it, things begin to open up for you. Praise the Lord. So basically, we have to be careful as Christians not to be lazy. There are several, for me, that's the one thing that I'm afraid of more than anything. The scriptures that come to my head more than anything, they say, if you deal with a slack hand, you'll be poor. If a little sleep, a little slumber, your poverty is coming. Like I had my, those are the scriptures. They never leave my head though. So when I just, I say, poverty is rubbing your head. I will wake up. Praise the Lord. Because I believe that as a Christian, I have all things. God, look, the blessing works in my life. The assignment for me is to stay in the place of work and allow God to pour the resources into my life. Praise the Lord. And like Pastor itemized for us, you are a person of value, you know. There are things you are supposed to do for the world to be a better place. If you don't do them, you are leaving gaps in the world. You are making it harder for the people that are coming after. God sends people into the earth to solve problems. Well, anyway, because of time, I think I'll just put a hold to it here. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We've not received any question. No, I said it earlier on. Pass it across to me, Okemute Olayinka, or anybody, I will get it. Questions? Wow, but that was a powerful one from Olayinka there. That's a powerful one. In fact, from what you said, I just jotted down something. It is easier to control a moving car than to control a parked car. It's easier for God to direct you when you are already doing something than when you are in your house on your bed counting the ceiling. Hallelujah. So you go out there and do the work. Don't say, like some people do, that it is not my calling. Let me tell you something. You don't have a calling. You don't have a calling. In that aspect, you don't have any calling. Better go and work. It's because you have siblings. You have a mother that is very, very loving, very considerate. That's why you're talking about calling. Because you see brethren and you ask them for money, and they will dash you. That's why you're talking about calling. Yes, if brethren decides to become wicked like Americans, and then it becomes scriptural. It becomes scriptural, then you go and look for work. It's not my calling. Okay, so let's take this question. When working, where is the place of planning for tomorrow and setting? And setting GRAIS. Okay, goals. GOALS. Okay. Setting goals as a Christian. When working, please let's listen again. Where is the place of planning for tomorrow and setting goals as a Christian? Beautiful question. Beautiful question. Is there anybody who wants to help us? Anybody wants to help us?
Praise God. There's something that we have heard here. You have to understand that your life is in seasons. You know, within the season where you are operating, you can make certain plans and work towards it. However, you understand also that all these things are tied to the crop permitting. For example, you can say now, 2017, oh my God. We are going to buy that trailer. It's 6 million naira. When we buy it, we'll now use it to be moving those goods. This keke we are using is enough. Is it not a good plan? It's a good plan. But it's dependent on 6 million naira coming. Praise the Lord. When the 6 million naira has come, the crop has permitted, amen? Then you take it, you go and buy the truck. But the 6 million may say, well, they've sent me, but at the rate things are moving, I'm not coming to 2019. So you find out that you set your plan that this season, this is what we want to do. But what that thing you are pursuing, it happens in 2019. You know, a few days ago, on Monday, we had that training class in this, and I gave the people jotters, and I told them that, you see, you have to keep this jotter close to you. Because as a business person, as time goes on, you find out that ideas drop that are solutions to problems that you have, and you have to note them down. Why am I saying this? Because you can sit down in intelligence and plan the things that you think we want to do over a certain period of time. Some of them, in fact, you have to. Some of them will work out the way you want it. Many others will not. However, it doesn't mean that you throw them out of the window, especially if they are tied to the success of what you are trying to achieve. Praise God. Yes, if they are, like, for example, you are producing bread. You say, next year we want to get a bigger oven. It's a good plan. It's a fantastic plan. Do you understand? However, next year, you go to Bank of Industry, they didn't give you a loan. You raise money by yourself, it was not enough. Your family, they are building house in the village, therefore they cannot give you extra money. So one way or the other, the cash does not flow. So what do? You work within what you have now, and you don't throw that plan out. You move it again. If it didn't work in 2017, you move it to 2018. So, but really, you have to settle down and itemize the things that you want to, that you think these are the next level of things you want to do within that season of your life. I hope I helped to answer that. Praise God.
Thank you very much, sir. Okay.
Praise the Lord. Please, I just need to add my answer to that. It just, well, something, just different words to, but the same principle that Olayinka just said now. And the reason why I'm deciding to answer is because I make statements like that a lot, and sometimes people misunderstand me. You know? You know, it's not something that Yinka said, that your life is in seasons. Be honest with you, I don't believe in long-term plans. They never work. Long-term. Should I plan? Yes. The man came, in return, the Lord gave them things, and he returned to the Lord. He said, your mina has made 10 months. That is, he had to find a way to multiply the mina. But there's no way to plan which city he will rule. That's the scriptural basis behind what I say. Do you understand? Now, I'm in school. I'm a student. Like Yinka said, life is in seasons. My current plan is what? Graduate with a good grade. And then those plans, again, they are not... See, I said something earlier yesterday about learning godliness with contentment. The plan must always be a plan for godliness, not for a result. Let me put it like this. People can say that plan to have a first class. If you've been to university, you know those plans don't happen. Now that people don't make first class, that's not what I mean. What I just mean is that you cannot determine to have it. What can you determine to do? Be the best you can be. That is a good plan. So the plan is simple. I'm in my second year. I'm an engineering student. I have 4 more years to go. That is second to fifth year. This year, please don't plan about what you will do in final year. Are you getting my point? The overall plan in your life as a Christian, obey God, fulfill the calling. But how do you do it? Joseph dreamt a dream. What's the plan? The dream must come to pass. Just start now. Are you getting my point? But for today, they sent him to the field. He reported properly what was going on. He ended up in Potiphar's place. He did very well. So each day, you have seasons. So each season, you execute what I call immediate plans. What I mean is that, second year engineering student, what are the subjects I'm doing? So this is my plan for this semester. I love Manchester United, but I'm an Arsenal fan. My plan for this semester is I will not watch any one of them. Any match they want to play is their problem. I will check the result. I will subscribe to Glow Football. You'll be sending me the notification. When your friend says, let's go, it's a plan from the beginning. I'm not watching. Why? I need time to read, to learn. That's what we mean by what? Planning for the day. He says, sufficient. You see, as Christians, we are learning what the Bible says. Sufficient unto the day. So you know that day, if you read the Bible, the word day, all right, is not always 24-hour period. It describes the season you are in. So for each season, so this student, for this session, what's my plan? More time reading, no social media for this year beyond WhatsApp. And I will not put my WhatsApp on like Okemute Zone. Once a day, don't send Okemute WhatsApp message. You need to talk to him, call him. He doesn't use WhatsApp. He uses WhatsApp. His zone is not complete. Yeah, you know, as a like now, if you ask me, I'll tell students, if you ask my opinion, I may be wrong, this is just Banky. Maybe I'm a cake. You know, I told you yesterday I'm no longer a young minister. All right? Maybe. If you ask my opinion, I'll say, students, you should not do Facebook. That's my opinion. I may be wrong. It engages you too much. It doesn't teach you anything. I hope they're having a learning chat groups now. Engineers, they gather together and discuss this engineering drawing and all of that. That's the kind of thing you need to belong to. That's what I mean by planning. Do you understand? As a long-term plans, I'll give you personal advice. Have long-term desires. For example, one day somebody told me that, oh God, at this rate, you need a private jet too. I said, amen. What am I going to do about it? Are they crazy? Nothing. He was just feeling sorry for me because, you know, when I went to Port Harcourt, if he swore, she told her husband, pastor is not coming this Sunday. No, went to Port Harcourt for the program, all right? If he was sure that Sunday I won't come to Makurdi, she said she began to suspect I will come when she called you and you rejected the call. So she called you, you caught the call. He said, this man is on radio. If he's on radio, pastor is on his way to Makurdi. So she called me and we're somewhere around them, we had reached Otupu. She said, ah, daddy, now wow. You understand? Ah, daddy, well, you know, my chat group, my brethren, so they know, we're tweeting the picture, you know, sharing the pictures from Port Harcourt. Well, our brethren came to the program now, so we're sending pictures. Pastor is in Port Harcourt. We're just playing. And we left Port Harcourt late on Saturday. Go home. You know, the time we go home that night because of the holdup at Okigwe. Okay, we tell Brenna, we are back home. We thank God. She just told her husband, no, this man is not coming to Makurdi tomorrow. When she tried to call you, you rejected the call. You say, ah, is he coming? That's in that joke, say, ah, that this can't walk up and down. You need a private jet too. So I said, amen. Say, desire. Nothing wrong with it. If you have private money, you're going to private places. Better flight. All those that say they don't believe in private jet, they're not going anywhere. You know, people are not going anywhere. Your whole life is between Okunano and them. Okay, great. He said, no private jet. So please, that's just what I want to say. Yes, plan. Each day, I mean, you don't set out of the day. One of the things I've learned personally that makes my day more efficient is at the end of the day, you know, you have what you have to do for this day. Because sometimes you are idle for a moment. But if you don't have a list of what you have to do for that day, you tend to forget. Yes. It may be I need to call these people. I do it in the morning. Today I'm calling Pastor Shegun, Pastor Chukuma. I list the people I'm supposed to call. I list their names. Then send radio broadcast to, you know, Abba, Enugu, Benin. I write it down. Edit last Tuesday's message. Do this like that. I write all of that down. I start ticking them. So I'm not talking about being planless that day, but that's the work for that day. Where's this ministry going to be in 20 years' time? I don't know. I don't care. Did we plan to go to Port Harcourt? The man who brought us to Port Harcourt, he came here to greet. Now we have a quarterly ministry in Port Harcourt. Fully funded by people in Port Harcourt. So expansion in ministry, but cash-wise, we aren't paying anything. The days are already ready. Promo has started for the first quarter, and they've already asked me for the date for the second quarter so they can start preparing. All that headache is not on Israel's head, it's not on Felix's head, it's not on my head, it's not on the community's head, it's not on anybody's head. They'll just call, say, sir, how many people are coming? How many rooms do you want? We'll get there. Who planned it? That's just all we mean. Thank you.
Amen. So we need to run fast now. Our time is fast spent. So we have some questions here. We have some questions here, so we need to handle them very fast. The next question here is there any business that is forbidden by Christianity, like sales of makeup cosmetics, example, lipstick, cortex, eyeshadow, etc.? Is there any business that is forbidden by Christianity, like sales of makeup cosmetics, example, lipstick and co?
All right, praise God. Well, personally, I believe, like Pastor said, purpose is very important. You understand? And Pastor has also said that there is no love for a Christian. People have asked, should I work in Nigeria Breweries or not? One of the people in the board of the Redeemed Christian Church of God, that is, Elder Ohiwere. I think he's in the board of Nigeria Breweries. Was former MD of them. So when people ask questions like that, I just give examples like that. Follow your conscience. However, a Christian should not be selling Igbo. You understand? There are things that are real, that India Hem, all those things. But you ask yourself, should I work in Nigeria Breweries? Should I act? Just follow your heart. So just follow your heart. However, you know, what product are you selling? How is it affecting people? Is it affecting them positively or negatively? How is it affecting their life? So I believe there are some things you put. But if you say you're selling makeup, you're making people say, I don't think it's bad. If we go direct like that, I don't think it's bad. You know, one day I was on reading and somebody asked, should a man be making a woman's hair? Yes. Why should a man be doing the job of a woman? Yeah, and people have questions like that. But if you go to Nanka, you see, and it's even better because the ladies go to the guys and they make more money. You understand? So just follow your heart, and please, it's very important. What kind of product am I selling? Is it benefiting the person buying? You ask yourself this, and I believe you're able to come to a reasonable conclusion.
Praise God. Some few rules. Number one, if it is illegal, please don't get involved. If it is immoral, please don't get involved. If Nigeria says that this is not good, laws of the land, it's illegal, don't get involved, please. But another thing I also want to add is, the three things Pastor mentioned earlier, why we work, the three things he mentioned earlier, use that as a litmus test. Are you being a blessing by doing that thing? Ask yourself, it's not about making money. You can be any one meal per day self. Number two, are you establishing righteousness by doing that thing? Praise God. Hallelujah. Then number three, are you demonstrating God's excellency in that thing you are doing? Those things, if you add it to the other two, five of them will always help you take such decisions. Is it illegal? Is it immoral? Is it being a blessing to someone? Is it establishing righteousness? Or is it demonstrating God's excellency? For me, I think it will answer the question. Praise God. Can we move on now? Have we answered that? All right, the next question. Seed for the sower and bread for food. What do you do when family responsibilities tend to always push all your earnings towards becoming bread for food? Note, example of such responsibilities include health issues or feeding the family. Praise God. Is the question clear?
Yes.
What do you do when genuine family responsibilities tend to be taking all your earnings, which is bread, basically? So how do you now eke out the seed part of your earning from that? Health issues, parents' health or siblings' health or a close relation's health, then feeding the family. Probably you are the one already earning. Every other person, either they are in school or they are not earning. You are the one taking care of the whole family. How do you cut out the seed from that, your earning? Please, we want to answer.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Because of time, let me just take a minute and answer that. First of all, if if you read my teaching on what is seed for the sower, if I'm giving to my parents a seed, do you get my point? So if you're talking about health of parents, that's not bread for food. That's seed for the sower. Do you understand? But you're talking about personal things that I have to do, maybe my own health, my wife, my kids, the family responsibilities, immediate family. I think it will qualify for bread for food, but there is no hard and fast rule about what proportion you give to anything. However, it's about priority. One man is a landlord, my colleague's landlord. When people go and meet him and say, please, oh, they can't pay their rent on time, that they have problems, he says, your rent is also a problem. Yeah. He said, the problem is that you don't see it as a problem. That's why you come to tell me that you have problems. That if you realize that this rent is a problem, you will solve it. That's all I have to say about that. If you see, and giving is, you see, Christians look at this giving thing as if it's a ritual. That's why, if it's just part of life, let me give you an example. You're talking about health. Okay, what if it's somebody you are helping that's sick? Do you get my point? That's it for the sower. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I don't think that question, even though it looks reasonable, but if you look at it very well, I don't think we really can sit on it and be saying that, what if I'm spending all my money? We're not being religious about it. We're just saying all of these things are problems. Solve all the problems that come. You get the logic there. Uh-huh. That's what I can just say about it. So, and then, of course, there's no law on it must be this, it must be that. Let me give you an example. One day, there was somebody we were counseling with. Okay, he was supposed to pay some money. And I said that, okay, the fellow didn't have a job, you understand? Now got a job that was paying, let's say, okay, we're praying that God, this guy will get a job so he can start meeting his obligations. And at that time, if he got a job that was paying 40K, we'll be excited. He now got a job that was paying 70. Everybody was happy. Okay, do what you're supposed to do now. He said he doesn't have enough money. I said, but we're praying for you to get a job at least of 40,000. You now got 70 now. Suddenly you don't have enough money to pay the things you're supposed to pay, which was really what we're praying in the first place. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that sometimes you look at it like that, say, this problem, so they are, lump all of them together, they are all my problems. And you start solving them. And God, look, this is not a, the Lord is alive and well. He's watching. Do you get my point? So these are really dynamic things. So there's nothing like, if people say that I must put 10% here or 15% here, that you're not having these quarrels. Let me just leave it there. Thank you.
Amen. All right, so we are moving. All right, the next question. Since churches do not sell shares or borrow money to start up ministries, is it right to involve a partner or borrow money if you want to run your business as a ministry? You understand the question, sir?
No, what he's saying is this, sir, that you say do your business as a ministry. And then ministries don't borrow money. They don't. But I think it's a matter of getting our terminologies wrongly. Our terminology is wrong. When they say do your business as a ministry, come and stand here so that we stand together. When they say do your business as a ministry, what we mean is they see it as an assignment from God. We're not saying run it like kingdom word. Every business has its way. Now, like Bishop Oyedepo will tell you that when he started ministry, he knew it was business. It doesn't mean he was paying dividends. It's just a terminology that he made it serious. That from the day Living Faith began, they appeared at work 8 o'clock, everybody properly dressed with a tie. Pastor David Ibiome, how many of you know it? Salvation Ministry. That was the accountant. So the day they started, he to resume work. You know what he said? He said, because it's business. What he means is that he took it like, this is a firm in which I work. It doesn't mean that the rules of this business is the same as that of Coca-Cola. In the same manner, when we say take your business as a ministry, what it means is that be diligent in doing it. Know you have to account to somebody. That I'm not just running a school because I want to make money. God is going to ask me, how did I impact people? I'm not just selling clothes, making clothes because I want to make money. God is going to say, how did you train people in godly appearance through the thing you are doing. You take it like a ministry. And when you take it like a ministry, you're not sloppy about it. That's what we're trying to do. That's what we mean, that do your business as a ministry. You're not sloppy. You don't break rules. You don't do things you can't testify about. If it's food you are cooking, you put the diligence of making sure it is clean, it is good, it is beneficial to people. You don't give them things to eat that you are not sure will be good for them. That's what I mean by take it like a ministry. Now, the financial aspect of it, every business has its own way of doing, what they call it, handling the finances. In preaching of the word, it is run by offerings. If you are selling Coca-Cola, nobody is dashing you money. Do you get my point? Nobody's going to dash you money. You will manufacture your Coca-Cola, put appropriate pricing. Do you get my point? You will distribute, and everybody pays the same amount. But when it comes to the ministry of the word, is the rules are different. The rule is that you don't charge anything. And people give according to what they have proposed in their heart. And you that's doing that preaching ministry, you now use wisdom to balance the two. Do you understand my point? Like now, here, last year we had space problems, you know. People couldn't get where to sit. People would come and be standing because we still had this place where cordoned off and all of that. The place was kind of tight. So I said, okay, we need space. Then Jonathan came and said, he thinks the best thing to do just to go and buy land somewhere and start developing it. I said to him, I said, Jonah, you are giving us a long-term solution for an immediate problem. Then I called and said, how much does it take to erect a small basic hall? I said, well, 4 million will be able to do that. I said, I'm laughing to myself. 4 million. Did you see 4 million balance in this account? Well, do you understand? We now say, okay, Jonathan, what you have said is good, but it's long term. Do you understand my point? It's long term. So we balance it at how much money income is coming in. You know, that's the wisdom we now use. At the end of the day, God opened that other door for us. So we moved our office to the other side, had an extension there. We solved all the problem with a small fraction. All we needed to do was buy 3 televisions, buy an extra air generator, put extra ACs, and that's solved. What am I doing? What we have done is to take the money that we have and use wisdom to handle. We understood our income. The time will come when we just sit down and say, Bishop, I beg, have you finished that design of Kingdom World Media Center? Yes. Move the guys to the site. What is the total amount? I said, I've checked this thing. With 200 million, we can get somewhere. I said, okay, just push 100 million, start. Somebody say amen now. Why do you think like that? You understand my point? That time will come. So what I'm going to say is that, so each business has its way you handle the ministry. I have to just pray, and we'll just believe God, and I will watch how people give to the work. But if we were selling something, we'll market. We'll price. Do you understand my point? We'll check all of those things. So please, when we say run your business as a ministry, it doesn't mean that we're saying don't take loan. And just for your information, some churches take loans. Is it bad? Well, really, I won't say it's bad. It's not a law. You just get practical with it. Let me give an example. Assuming that somebody wants to sell a property now, you understand, that can give us everything we have here, and then the money comes to an amount that we know over the next few years we'll have much more than that, and Federal Mortgage Bank agrees to buy it for us. I say Federal Mortgage Bank because their interest rate is low, it's fixed, it's 6%. You understand? And we check how much we spend normally and all of that. We put everything together. There's nothing wrong with saying Federal Mortgage Bank pay for the building. Then we'll move into it and then we'll start paying rent back to Federal Mortgage Bank. And as God increases us, we pay them off. Now, because I didn't take money from Federal Mortgage Bank, that was a loan. That's a loan. We bought a building with a loan. Do you understand? Ministry, we don't declare dividends. If the business, and we have 4 people put money together, at the end of the year, guy, you have to sort them out. So the rules for each thing is different. The fact that you're running your business as a ministry does not mean you can't take a loan and you can't get partners. We have partners in Kingdom World, in quote, except that they don't collect dividends. Their dividends is when they see that the ministry is moving. The joy, that's a dividend for all of us. But if it was investing in Coca-Cola, oh boy, I don't have any joy that you are selling more if I'm not seeing my check at the end of the year. You understand what I'm saying there? Okay.
All right. So we'll move on to the last question for today. Does business half price? Or is it at the debatable price? Does business have price? Or is it at the debatable price? I don't really think I understand. Okay, if you bargain. Okay, if there is supposed to be a fixed price, or every you have to bargain. Okay. Business, we don't know. Is it like buying and selling, trading kind of thing? Commodity?
It's just maximizing profits. Like they do in markets these days, you go, nothing has a price. It's how much they can get you to pay for it that becomes the price. So if you buy something for 5,000, you can come and tell you he's selling it for 15. Then you bargain and he sells it to you for 10. Somebody else might come and bargain and takes it for 7. So what the person is asking is, should you engage in that practice or should you have a fixed price for all your goods?
I would recommend this book, Business by the Book by Larry Bucket. Yes, because we don't have all the time. But there is something Larry Bucket said, and I share that opinion, okay? And that is that I don't think the price I sell to you should depend on your ability to haggle. That's the fairness about it. So that I make more from the man who doesn't like to haggle, and make less from the man who harasses my soul. And like I say all the time, I don't believe in rewarding bad behavior. Do you understand? Somebody who will harass, I mean, my wife sells things. And I know there are people who will talk to her, she's worn out. I should tell you that, in fact, if somebody, this particular lady I have in mind, if that girl wants to buy something from my wife will run. The only other way to do is that if you want to sell the thing for 7,000, I should tell the person it's 10. And the one thing about it is that, because we discussed it, I told my wife that we discussed it. If you're selling for 7, whether you can price or you can't price, you are paying that 7, you just don't realize it. Once she knows you're a difficult person, say, okay, sorry, it's 15,000. No, she's going to sell for 7. You know, look, this 1 hour that you want to take, she's ready for you. Now you start the talk. Talk here, go there, say, no, it's 9. You talk. Her mind is, I'm selling for 7,000. You are paying that 7,000 naira. Do you understand? Then finally you pay the 7, you are happy, you go. Troublemaker, go. But if he knows that you don't price, he say, that one is 7. Yes. And she has friends like that. I'm thinking of another person now. Do you understand? And what was it we sat down with? See, this is what I taught her then. As everything must have its reason. Let me explain what I'm saying. If, for example, there are friendship discounts. So if I'm selling this phone for 50,000, and if it's my friends, they get, what do you call it? Maybe 10%. You will get that 10%. If I say, when you buy 2, you get 5%. You get it, you understand my point. Then, of course, I now have my discretion, which I just want to die, because it happens. You can decide to do something for somebody for free. Do you understand? But if you're not doing that, deliberately cutting, that I want to just dash you, you are my friend, so friendship price, this is it. But if I want to make my full, profit on it, I will recommend, and please read Business by the Book, that some of this they do in the open market is not good practice. It's actually not good practice. Fix your prices based on reasoning. Adjust them for reasons. And because what you do is, if you keep on saying, okay, I will, depending, you can haggle. And good. God gives you people that will take your whole day talking. And you know the truth, even in this so-called open market, I don't know how many of you have noticed, there are places you buy things for, they don't expect you to haggle. They know you, they don't expect you to haggle. If you start haggling, they start losing the bit of respect that they had for you. Some will take advantage of that and cheat you, I know. But at least me, the way it's been with me for time, from time, if I have to be haggling with you, I won't buy things for you for a long time. I soon stop. And people have bought from, like, I used to buy things from brothers. I stopped when Ekene left, Ifeanyi left, and then this guy took over. I stopped going there. Because before, when I come, in fact, the way we used to do that, there was a day I needed something. I called them. I was traveling. The gen in the house had a problem. She now told me that it's beginning to short oil, this and that and that. Maybe we'll ring it. I say, ring generator. You go ring generator. Namotoka. So I told him, drop it at the back. And I was not at home. And I was traveling. So I just left a check. And I called Ekene. I need so-and-so size of generator. Do you have? Yes. Please drop it in my house. They'll give you a check when you get there. That's how well I dealt with them. And they'll just drive it there. Hey, pastor said we should drop something here. They drop it. Where's our check? It's when I will now tell them, okay, write this figure on it. And he carries his check. If I don't have money that day, I say, look, it's posted by a week. Please pick it up next week. They had no problem. And if I got that generator cheaper anywhere in Enugu, maybe 500 naira cheaper. Which is not bad. They brought it to my house. Not a big deal. The next guy on the line was, you know, and that was it. They lost me as a customer. I'll buy ACs and discover that this guy actually hiked the price because, you know, he knew that I wouldn't argue. Of course, when I complained once or twice, nobody did anything about it. That was it. Business, gone. Final. And these days of, Konga and Jumia and all these other places, who has time for your haggling? I Google the matter up. If you're giving me hassle, I tell Konga, drop it in my house. You know the way they will drive it down, JJ, drop it, collect money on delivery. My personal issue is that my advice is, yes, fix your prices. Read Business by the Book by Larry Bucket. He gives scriptural reasons why you should do it. I'm not giving scriptural reasons now, but that's my own personal advice. Do your pricing. Have your rules for it. If they are my friends, I give them this price. Normal price is this. If you are buying two, is this. If you are paying cash, is this. If you are going to pay me over three, you know, just have the... Are you getting my point? It's easier for you and over time. You don't want to be haggling. 20 years later, I see they haggling. How much you won't pay? Come now, my friend, because of tomorrow. You know those kind of nonsense talk. Come on, we'll move forward like that in life. We continue doing like that.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I was discussing with Inka, and we were talking about laziness. Laziness of the mind and laziness to walk, which he talked part of it today. What Pastor is saying is very, very, very beautiful. It's a very good solution. But to achieve it, you must say no to laziness to be able to factor all the conditions and different contexts. Because sometimes in the service industry, there are a lot of things that you consider in your pricing. For having tangible goods, probably you are selling electronics or you're selling, you know, lace in the market or something. Probably you know that this is this and everybody understands the price. But sometimes in the services industry, there are other things you get to consider in your pricing. So actually to get it to the details like that, they really have to get down to work to consider all those different scenarios and price all those scenarios and have them ready. And of course, as you're having them ready, like Pastor said, you have all the reasons why you arrived at that price and the reasons why you could change it in any possible situation or condition. I don't know if you understand. If it's a brother, if it's a sister, if it's a brother's friend, if it's a prospective client, probably someone you want to get into their sphere of influence. If a Otedola calls me and says that he wants me to do a design, you know, I may offer to do it just to even just get into his sphere of influence, just to do it for him. But that doesn't mean that I do everything for everybody free. Just to get, probably he'll probably introduce me to Otudeko. Probably I'll get to know Dangote. Probably I'll get to know, you know how this thing works now. So you really have to understand the different scenarios, you know. When a pastor wants to get a bigger offering, that's why they give front seats. You know, they'll tell you to come on. Praise God. So that's actually understood. So we've exhausted our questions for today. And we're not doing too badly with time, but we'll close now. We'll close now. Please, let us pray.
All right, in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for today. Let's just individually just give him thanks. For the one thing that you learned, give him thanks for that. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, for the time that your children have gathered this morning, multiply that time, Father, for the rest of the day in Jesus' name.
Amen.
What we will have achieved from 8 a.m. if we are running around, call us to achieve it from this 11:30 in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We'll give you praise. In Jesus' name we are praying.
Amen.
Let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we are passed out of death and we are passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil, because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness and multiplication in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. One more time.